Hey, welcome to Project Wellness. My name's Dominique Liv Kamal, and I'm based in Australia. I'm an award-winning naturopath, nutritionist, and herbalist. And today I want to share with you some more readings from my book, The Wellness Zone. The book, The Wellness Zone, the first edition was published in 2005. We sold out of those, so we had more published in 2008. We've sold out of those, and now you can buy as an ebook online. But we have the audio readings here for you, and as part of my Project Wellness podcast, which is available on Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean, I'm reading parts of my book that inspire me at a particular time for you. And today, I just want to talk to you about cardiovascular health. Like, I'm a woman, and I'm in my mid-50s, and so that means that because I'm sort of like postmenopausal, menopausal, my risk factors for cardiovascular disease are increasing as I get older. And what happens is women postmenopausally, our risk factors for cardiovascular disease equal men, basically. So that means that we're at risk for stroke, heart attacks, arteriosclerosis, and, you know, all sorts of cardiovascular circuitry issues as we get older. One of the cool things that I did when I was at uni doing my master's in public health and health promotion was I wrote a health promotion called For the Love of a Woman's Heart, and I looked into evidence-based herbs for the cardiovascular system for postmenopausal women, and we were looking at what was best practice, evidence-based, peer-reviewed, really highly researched. And at that time, which was 2013-14, we were looking at fish oil, we were looking at like the omega-3 fatty acids, the DHA and EPA fatty acids. We were looking at a herb called Crataegus moniera, which is hawthorn berry, and that's a cardioglycoside, and it's one of my favorite herbs for cardiovascular. The evidence base was also for coenzyme Q10 and magnesium, and this was generally for postmenopausal women to reduce the risk factors for cardiovascular disease. So my suggestion at the beginning of my podcast about this is a good thing for a lot of people to reduce our risk factors, both men and women. Okay, so I'm going to start reading on page 101 of my second edition of The Wellness Zone, and the words are cardiovascular. You need to know as much about your genetics as possible in this area of your wellness zone. If your father, mother, or grandparents had any problems with their circulatory system or heart, then you cannot afford to sit in ignorance and think that you are safe from one of the biggest killer illnesses in our world today. Yes, for your wellness zone, you need information and you need to learn about specific conditions that may be genetically passed to you and your children. We're talking epigenetics here, created by lifestyle from past generations. For example, if there is a history of cardiac arrest in the family and you know that your father and grandfather had this condition at a certain age, usually in their 40s or 50s, then you may well be predisposed to exactly the same in your life. The risk is even greater if you smoke or handle stress in ways that make a situation worse. Women are not excused from this position either. Up until menopause, women's hormones act as a protection against many forms of cardiovascular disease. After menopause, women are at risk in much the same way as men. So protect your heart and circulatory system as a priority in your life. Varicose veins and stagnant pooling of blood in the pericardium, which is the heart muscle of the heart, are all too common symptoms of women's cardiovascular disease. Keep your blood flowing freely with the assistance of white willow bark, ginkgo biloba, bilberry, ginger. Keep your cholesterol under management with natural techniques. Make sure your arteriosclerosis is under control and do all within your power to keep your cardiovascular health in good condition. Make sure you keep your vision good with Eyebright and Bilberry. If your feet and peripheral circulation become cold or numb, make sure you are aware of this and that you take ginkgo biloba, bacopa, ginseng, and other herbals and natural solutions to help keep your body functioning optimally. Remember that if your cardiovascular health is poor, then the chances are that your memory is not functioning efficiently either. Use it or lose it is very relevant when it comes to cardiovascular health. Get fit, get thinking, get busy, and don't stop. Cardiovascular health is the key to a long life and good health. High blood pressure means that your arteries and veins could be heavy and solid, like plastic. This is an indication that they also may be constricted and blocked with arteriosclerosis. All of these indicate that you need to soften these vessels with apple cider vinegar and lemon juice. You need to take antioxidants and you need to take protective measures against genetic, epigenetic, and other cardiovascular problems that may lead to, well, sudden death, really. The lowdown on cholesterol and arteriosclerosis. The relationship of high cholesterol to arteriosclerosis is developed in a series of events that are often brought about by diets high in saturated fatty acids, leading to an overload of low-density lipoproteins, in brackets I've got LDLs, in the body, which carry the cholesterol through the system to deposit in arteries, causing the end product of arteriosclerosis. Cholesterol is a waxy substance that occurs naturally in your body. It's produced by the liver to build cell walls and make certain hormones. You can't function without a certain amount of cholesterol, but the body makes all it needs. 80% of cholesterol is synthesized in your liver, and only 20% actually comes from dietary animal products we eat. It is common for many of us to have an unhealthy accumulation of cholesterol due to dietary excess. Cholesterol carries your hormones around, so it's very important for your endocrine system. Triggered by damage to the tunica intima caused by blood-borne chemicals, viruses or physical factors such as a blow, as in a hit, or hypertension, injured endothelial cells release chemotropic agents and mitosis, including factors, which begin to transport and modify greater amounts of lipids, meaning fats, picked up from the blood, in particular low-density lipoproteins. Low-density lipoproteins are the type of lipoprotein that delivers cholesterol to tissue cells in the bloodstream. When the sequestrated LDL becomes oxidized, it damages neighboring cells and acts as a chemotactic agent to attack monocytes to the area. The monocytes then cling to altered endothelial cells and migrate beneath the tunica intima, where they become macrophages. These macrophages then gorge on oxidized low-density lipoproteins and become transformed into lipid fat-laden foam cells and lose their scavenging ability. So what this means is that macrophages that generally go in and they encase heavy metals and toxins and carry them out harmlessly through your bloodstream, and they go out through your urine. What they do in this case is that they're basically sucking up the fatty acids, the low-density lipoproteins, and then as they're going through the bloodstream, they're actually going through the blood vessel walls, the lumen of the blood vessels, and they're hiding behind the blood vessels, which is really dangerous. Soon, these macrophages are joined by smooth muscle cells migrating from the tunica media, and they also take up fats and become foam cells. These accumulating foam cells initiate the fatty streak stage. The smooth muscle cells also deposit collagen and elastin fibers, thickening the intima and producing fibrous lesions with the core of dead and dying foam cells called arteriosclerosis plaques. These fatty molds of muscle and fibrous tissue begin to protrude into the vessel lumen, which is the condition arteriosclerosis. Some people have the added disadvantage of lipoprotein A, which is involved in delivering cholesterol to sites where tissue repair is occurring. Lipoprotein A is a special low-density lipoprotein that is presumed to assist in wound healing. It backfires when it's present in excess. Lipoprotein A binds to the subendothelial tissues more avidly than other low-density lipoproteins. It is thought to promote mitosis of cells in vessel walls. Because it resembles plasmyogen, it can call upon it at sites where clots have formed. However, it lacks plasminogen's clot-dissolving ability, so it competes successfully with that clot buster and may prevent the disposal of undesirable clots. So it basically accumulates, and it's quite dangerous in the way it does that. Arteriosclerosis is the end stage of the disease. Enlarged plaques hinder diffusion of nutrients from the blood to deeper tissues of the artery wall. Smooth muscle cells in tunica media die. Elastic fibres deteriorate and are replaced by non-elastic scar tissue, and calcium is deposited in the lesions. These events cause arterial walls to fray and ulcerate, encouraging platelet adhesion and thrombosis formation. The increased rigidity of the walls leads to hypertension, which increases the risk of myocardial infarcts, strokes, and aneurysms. Too much cholesterol in the blood is a major contributing cause of heart and blood vessel disease. Cholesterol forms clots and plaques that clog the arteries, causing arteriosclerosis that can choke off the supply of blood to your heart, causing heart attacks, and your brain, leading to strokes. By lowering your cholesterol level, you take personal responsibility and may be able to stop plaques from developing in your arteries and shrink clots that have already formed. This is true preventative medicine, where you actively contribute to your wellness zone. Look, I'm just stop reading for a second just to tell you, don't get frightened of this. Like, what, you know, just to sort of put that down into a more, like, understandable way, I guess. What I want to say is that the macrophages take the low-density lipoproteins and they get caught behind and they seem to migrate to the back of the lumen of the veins and arteries, especially the ones going in towards the heart. And what happens is you have an event and it's a stressor event. And if you've got super rigid and plastic veins and arteries in your body without pliability, then these can crack open. And what happens is that it releases the low-density lipoproteins in the plaque in like these foamy kind of cells that solidify. And like I said, they don't have the anti-clotting factors of other cells in the body. And then that actually really restricts the flow of blood to your heart. And that's one of the reasons why people suddenly die of a heart attack. It's pretty scarable. So the increased rigidity of the walls, we're talking about the vein walls, leads to hypertension, which increases the risk of myocardial infarcts, strokes, and aneurysms. So really, like, this is where I love apple cider vinegar, because if you drink apple cider vinegar regularly in your diet, you're going to have more plasticity, which is pliability in your veins and arteries. By lowering your cholesterol level, you're taking personal responsibility. So when we talk about that, we're not talking about blocking it. And I'm about to go into statins and things. But my favourites for this is, you know, like phytosterols and phytostanols, which are plant-based. And also, like, I love turmeric and I love ginger for this as well. Lots of turmeric and lots of ginger. You know, golden milk, golden zinc tea, ginger lemon honey, turmeric drinks, turmeric in your cooking. It's one of the best preventatives that I think you can do for cardiovascular disease. If you have already had a heart attack or bypass surgery, your healthcare practitioner can check your cholesterol levels regularly. Keeping the level low is your best insurance against blocked arteries. Understanding your cholesterol level is an important key for anyone who wants to ensure good health in later years, and also for anyone who eats dietary fats regularly or who has a family history of coronary heart disease and strokes. This is why I worry sometimes about keto diets that people are on. Like, if you're going to be on a low carbohydrate keto protein based diet and you're having fats, make sure you're having healthy fats. Make sure you're not having fats that are contributing to increasing your low-density lipoprotein levels, like basically animal-saturated fatty acids. If you eat meat, they're okay to have sometimes, but you've got to remember that all the chemicals are caught in the fat as well, so that adds to your toxic load in your body, which is another factor that we talk about. If you listen to my podcasts on detoxing, I talk about how to detox your body. The high-density lipoprotein, HDL cholesterol, is referred to as good cholesterol because of its ability to cleanse the arteries and act as a carrier to remove the slower accumulating low-density lipoprotein cholesterol, or we call that the bad cholesterol, but it's not really the bad cholesterol. You know, like this is the thing, is that these terminologies are going, you know, they're outdated. I've just used modern evidence-based research terminologies, which I'm pretty sure they'll change in the future. So if you listen to this podcast in a few years, like, you know what? We know it's going to change. The bad cholesterol build up and clog the arteries. Technically, we want to increase our levels of high-density lipoproteins, HDL, and lower our levels of LDL cholesterol in the blood. The higher the HDL level, the lower your chance of having a heart attack or stroke. And this is where some awesome research into plant-based vegan diets has been excellent for reducing risk factors of cardiovascular disease. And also vegetarian diets as well are lower risk factor than traditional Western meat-eating diets. If you don't know your cholesterol readings, call your healthcare practitioner for testing. The cholesterol test is best done after a 12-hour fast because that shows what your resting cholesterol is. The blood test will also measure blood components such as triglycerides like cholesterol. Triglycerides are a type of fat that is found in foods including meat, cheese, fish, nuts, and also it's manufactured by the body. There is a relationship between high triglyceride levels and heart disease. Cholesterol and triglyceride testing will help you determine how likely you are to develop heart disease. You can get a little machine yourself at home and you can give yourself a little finger prick for your cholesterol readings as well. Like keeping on top of your cholesterol and then trying different experiments with it is very, very helpful. So my next section is how to lower your cholesterol level. Getting regular exercise, maintaining a healthy weight, with a BMI between 20 and I say 28 is healthy. The reason why I say a BMI of up to 28 is because that is what was the accepted BMI level until lobbying to the American government occurred and it was changed and reduced down to 25. 28, I believe, is a healthy BMI. And limiting the amount of, alcohol, carbohydrates, and saturated fat in your diet will help lower your cholesterol and triglyceride levels. Keto diets, ketogenic diets are fantastic as long as they're not super high in fat. Keeping your carbohydrates under control is really, really important because carbohydrates tell your body to secrete lots of insulin and then you start storing fat. And when you're storing fat, you're pretty well storing everything. I also think that if you have an organic diet, you're going to be storing more healthy nutrients in your body than if you've got a lot of chemicals in your diet. So herbally, globe artichoke assists in lowering cholesterol levels, helping the gallbladder remove the cholesterol effectively through the small intestine and eliminating it thoroughly. Sugarcane waxes are proving popular, especially when taken at a therapeutic dose each day. Now, I'm talking about this because in a minute I'm about to give you my thoughts in 2005 on statin drugs, which I will say was not good. I don't like statin drugs at all. I think that they stop the absorption of many nutrients and they interfere with the body too much. And at that time when I wrote this book, they were looking for alternatives. And sugarcane wax, and as I said before, phytosterols and phytostanols, which are plant steroids and plant stanols, were said to do the same job of blocking and stopping the cholesterol getting through. But they also do have their own problems as well. So these days, I don't actually really support that so much. What I support is other things. I'll tell you about that now. But I'm reading this to say that the phytostanols have been attracting quite a bit of attention, ACCA 2008, as they were having effective results in comparison to the statin drugs. There are a lot of clinical peer-reviewed trials on that I studied when I wrote this book. Get the blood flowing, moving, like get your blood flow moving, and clear low-density cholesterol. Shake up the arteriosclerosis with some good old-fashioned garlic, turmeric, capsicum, and ginger, which is good to remove the plaque. Also adding selenium to the diet, which is 125 micrograms a day maximum, and coenzyme Q10, which is found in avocados and brown rice, are good for anyone who is at risk of having high cholesterol. I have changed my stance on that a little bit since then, in so much as I've really incorporated fasting, a 24-hour to 48-hour fasting weekly, and intermittent fasting in conjunction with a keto diet for that as well. Avoid high-fat and cholesterol-rich foods such as anything with trans fatty acids in it. So we're talking French fries, fast food, tortillas. Look, the research into sausages, bacon, salamis, hot dogs, and the toxic levels with that is just through the roof at the moment. In 2019, I'm reading this to you. So 11 years after I wrote this book, I'm saying stay away from it in 2008. But right now, the research is really showing the toxin levels of those to be super high. Cakes, cookies, and other desserts, we're talking sugar. Sugar is not good because it's just so concentrated and it really gets too much insulin going and everything gets stored in the wrong way in your body, which leads to obesity, which is another precursor to cardiovascular disease and the risk factors. Like, don't fry your food. I'm saying don't fry your food, but I say shallow fry if you're going to fry. Okay, so common sense prevails here. It's fairly obvious that if you eat more fatty food, then you have more chance of absorbing them into your bloodstream and collecting it as fat in your body, so you turn into fat. It's that simple. Body loves storage. It's waiting for that starvation mode to kick in, so we want to avoid that as much as possible. The phytostanols work as cholesterol blockers and they act as a barrier between your small intestine so the cholesterol-laden fatty cells do not get diffused through into your bloodstream. Essential fatty acids are good fats and these can be eaten freely by anyone, including people with high cholesterol levels. However, saturated fats increase blood cholesterol levels. Or better still, avoid them altogether. So, you know, like going into like the keto diet, keep the fats down. You know, sometimes, of course, have fats. Like there's a really interesting thing that I've been studying, you know, with, I've mentioned to you guys before in my podcast that I recently subscribed to and listening to the Fasting Transformation Summit. And that was held by Dr. Jockers in the States. And I follow lots and lots of really cool summits and forums, and I listen to a lot of stuff. So for me, who's been fasting since I was maybe, you know, 27, 28 years of age or even younger, I find that if you fast and if you have a low-fat diet and if you keep your carbohydrates down, that's pretty well where all the research is going now for health and wellness. But they also say that you should have feast days. And when they're talking about, because what happens when you have a feast day is you keep your metabolism up. And so this is really super interesting because you can eat your salmon and your essential fatty acids and have them fried in good monounsaturated fatty acids and oils, or you can have your steak, or you can have those kinds of things on a feast day and your metabolism will stay higher. And because you're not doing it all the time, it's probably more healthy for your body. But that's just my subjective opinion. There's no daily recommendation for total fat intake. Isn't that interesting? Like, seriously? There's no, it's like they look in percentages. Just look at the obesity in the world and you will see that your body has an amazing, huge appetite for foods that create fat in your cells. So avoid the temptation and try to restrict fat calories to 20% or less of your total calories per day. That's even pretty high in some people's terms. And fewer than 5% of these fat calories should be from saturated fats. Calories is a bad measurement. I've used the word calories here, and just reading it back now, I'm like, well, you know, like a calorie, your body doesn't understand calories. That's just a measurement that's been made, and I don't necessarily agree with following calories. I think you should follow appetite, and you should follow what you think would be good for you to eat, and you should exercise well. How to reduce saturated fat in your diet. Eliminate fatty animal products from your diet, such as, and here we go, hamburgers, bacon, sausage, salami, processed meats. They are super toxic. Cut the visible fat from meat and take the skin off poultry. And don't use antibiotic-laden poultry either. Like, look, you look at free-range organic poultry. Read labels carefully and avoid foods that contain hydrogenated vegetable oils, cocoa butter, beef fat, and lard. Be kind to your body and only have these foods if there's absolutely no alternative, which shouldn't be that often. And the other thing I want to say to you about that too is that if you're into a cultural food like foie gras, for example, which is pâté, which is French food, eat it rarely. If your family makes salami and you traditionally eat salami, eat it rarely. Like, don't make it a regular part of your diet. Don't have it like it's a daily food. I'm not exactly into low fat. I don't think you should have low fat, like low fat milk or whatever. If you want to have milk, these days I'm into almond milk, soy milk, coconut milk, those kinds of things. I think that having too much dairy does add congestion. I know it does to my body, but I think that's another problem with our society, with the diets that we have and the processed foods. You know, like enjoying fat-free snacks. Let's go into fruit here. Eat fruit. It's natural. You know, like just anything processed with numbers and labels. Like if you want to keep your cholesterol down, you want to keep your body weight down, you want to keep yourself healthy, you know, like just avoid that stuff. Like there's nothing wrong with good raw may and cacao and chocolate and really healthy things. There's nothing wrong with adding a bit of butter to your cooking or monosaturated fatty acids. Just selectively, by deliciousness, choose the foods that you eat and super look after your own body. You know, like, you know, just you know what to do. You know what to do. When you go shopping, stay away from the middle aisles. It's that simple. If you go to the supermarket to shop, walk in the external peripheral aisles where all the fresh fruit and vegetables are. Don't walk down the middle aisles where the processed foods is. Avoid it. Most things that are in cans are full of sodium and salt, and sodium and salt, what does that do? That helps constrict veins and arteries. It helps create plasticity in our veins and arteries. Anything that's in the freezer has often been preserved and it's full of trans fatty acids or fatty acids. Try and avoid that. Like anything that's a dietary food that says low fat, well, guess what? It's probably going to be high in sugars and high in additives and preservatives. Like just keep your diet fresh, close to the ground, local as much as possible. And if you're overweight, I know it's a horrible thought, but you've got to lose it. It's that simple. If you're going to lose weight, don't even attempt to lose more than half a kilo to a kilo a week, and exercise as much as you can. But the problem with weight loss and losing weight is that you often end up really like losing the plot and eating and binging, so don't do that. So phytosterols are nature's new cholesterol cutter. One key for optimal health is to keep your cholesterol levels low. Have you ever wondered about cholesterol levels and how you can keep them in a healthy balance? Apart from all the information I've just given you, research is showing that phytosterols are the new cholesterol cutters, so use herbs and plants as a preventative measure. How do I keep my cholesterol levels in balance? The key for healthy cholesterol balance is to keep the blood serum levels of cholesterol low and eliminate any cholesterol that's not needed for immediate hormonal use. Now, if you have a diet that's high in plant sterols, then you will produce less low-density lipoproteins and you'll have a better chance for taking low-density lipoproteins safely out of the body. Okay, bang, bang, here we are. Vegan diets, vegetarian diets are shown to automatically reduce your risk factors for cardiovascular disease. The more animal products you have in your diet, the more risk factors you have for cardiovascular disease and toxic buildup. So I'm saying that if you're not eating organic local meats, please eat organic local meats. Eat organic everything if you can. And if you can't get organic stuff, what I recommend is you just soak them in a little bit of apple cider vinegar and water. This is vegetables and fruits. So diets that are higher in fresh fruits and vegetables have been shown time and time again through numerous peer-reviewed studies, and lots of people have been talking about this, to reduce all risk factors for all diseases and health. You've just got to keep your nutritional profile good. So the aim when balancing cholesterol levels is to lower the total cholesterol levels, inhibit the production of cholesterol by the liver, lower triglyceride levels, increase the HDL levels, while decreasing the LDL levels, inhibit the oxidation of low-density lipoproteins and help prevent blood clotting and platelet stickiness. Okay, all right, so keep the liver clean, keep the liver decongested, look after your liver. My favorite, carrot juice and lemon juice. Take 1 kilo of carrots, take one lemon whole, juice them, drink it. Celery juice is another one. Drink celery juice every morning. Take your greens like spirulina and all those things. They're super healthy for you. Keep your liver clean. Lemon juice, apple cider vinegar. Taking bitters before meals really helps because it allows your digestion to be optimal. Okay, so what's a phytosterol? Well, phyto means plant, okay? So plant sterols and plant stanols are collectively known as phytosterols. Plant sterols are plant hormones with chemical structures similar to that of cholesterol. Especially high sterol levels are found in rice bran, wheat germ, corn oils, and soybeans, non-GMO soybeans. In a more concentrated form, these substances are called plant stanols. Structurally, these compounds are chemically similar to cholesterol. However, unlike cholesterol derived from animal sources, which absorbed easily and raise the body's own cholesterol levels, phytosterols are present only at very low levels in the body because they are difficult to absorb. Interestingly, phytosterols are closely resemble cholesterol, that they can be actually block food-based cholesterol from being absorbed into the bloodstream. So there you go. Having these phytosterols with high cholesterol foods like the meats can reduce the absorption of the bad stuff getting into your body. Awesome. The result is that both the phytosterols and dietary cholesterol end up excreted in waste matter. Yay, this is feces. So make sure you're not constipated. Make sure that you've got good assimilation. It all starts in the liver. The liver secretes the bile that goes to the gallbladder that waits for everything to come in, that emulsifies fatty acids and carbohydrates. It sends them through, that helps you have good regular bowel movements. But that's another podcast. I'll tell you all about that later. Food manufacturers have begun to incorporate plant sterols and stanols into margarines. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't like margarines. I don't like hydrogenated fatty acids in any way, but I guess it's a good thing they're adding it. Nutritional supplement manufacturers also offer phytosterols in tablet form for those who don't want the extra calories of cholesterol-lowering margarine. However, you don't need to take margarine to get phytosterols. Many common and nutritious foods contain these essential sterols, and you can add them to your daily menu. So you know what? I just want to say right now, I love butter. Butter's natural. It's good for you. It's healthy. I remember when I was studying my degree in naturopathy, it was complementary medicine, and I was studying nutrition, and I got into an all-out argument with one of my tutors at university about, you know, like, because I was supposed to be writing an article about hydrogenated fatty acids in the form of margarine and how good they were for you. And this is in the 1990s. And in the 1980s, everything flipped with cholesterol and everything flipped to low-fat, high-sugar diets. And obesity in our society has just increased from then. And I argued that because I'm half French. My father was French. And you know what? I grew up on butter. And I always say butter is better. So I reckon that for me and for many of you, and I just want to say this honestly, you're better off having pure butter and then taking the phytosterols and the phytosterols from just beautiful fruits and vegetables in your diet and what you eat in your diet. You know, and I was arguing that in the 1990s, and then, you know, like not so long ago, after I've written this book, there was all this backflip on margarine and everyone was going back to butter. And I was like, yes, yes, of course, because it's natural. The more close to the earth our food is, it's got to be good. And people for thousands and thousands of years have been eating butter. I'll tell you how to make butter. You just get cream and whip it till it's over whipped and add some salt and just keep whipping it. And it makes this super hard, it just makes this whipped up coagulated substance of cream. And then you just make it into little squares and pop it in the fridge and it's totally delicious. Like butter, I love butter. I love it. But right now I'm telling you about cholesterol. So I'll just tell you from my book again how the phytosterols work. Put simply, the phytosterols block your body's ability to absorb cholesterol. They work by fooling the body into thinking they are its own cholesterol. So instead of making more, the liver makes less. Also, they are carried out harmlessly, attaching themselves to other cholesterol in the system. It's a real win-win situation for your body and certainly is worth trying if you're suffering from the effects of high cholesterol. Cytosterol, which is a phytosterol, is a white waxy substance made by plants and it's contained in many plant oils, especially corn oil and avocado oil. It has the effective action of blocking cholesterol from being absorbed through the villi of the small intestine. That's the part of the small intestine, and I'll go into that in another podcast as well. The villi are these little tiny little hair-like microbes that absorb nutrients into our system, whilst being quite safe and not blocking the assimilation of other nutrients. It's quite an amazing product, as it doesn't matter how much cholesterol is contained in foods in the gastrointestinal tract, cytosterol will prevent it from getting into the bloodstream. With adequate amounts of cytosterol taken in oil, you can eat your favorite rich food with less worry about the cholesterol. I'm not a supplement girl. I'm into food as medicine. So eat it in the oil. Have avocado oil in your salad dressings or get good non-GMO corn oil, nice organic corn oil. Foods high in phytosterols. Avocados are a number one source of phytosterols. Remember that as phytosterols are plant hormones, most plants will have them in trace amounts. Because guess what? Plants have hormones just like we do. Plants are organisms just like we are. They have an intelligence. Just because we don't speak their language doesn't mean that they don't have one. However, because they are suspended in fatty acids, the oilier the plant, the more phytosterols it will be in the food. Think flax seeds, think chia seeds, think everything that's got oil in it. For example, flaxseed oil is high in phytosterols, as are the vegetable oils derived from many plants, including soya beans, non-GMO again, olives, coconut, seed oils, sunflower, sesame, sunflower seeds, nuts, grains. All nuts and things contain phytosterols. Add nuts in your diet. Yeah, phytosterols are concentrated forms of plant hormones and are found in the oils of plants such as pine and sugarcane. These oils are readily available commercially and often esterified to access the active sterols such as polycosanol. You can buy polycosanol supplements in the pharmacies and health food shops, you know, but from what I've just said, I think I'm just going to have you add avocado oil, sesame oil, olive oil, monounsaturated, beautiful oils into your diet. I can tell you something that's really interesting here just when you cook. You know when you go to cook in butter, like you might put it in the frying pan to fry? Add in an equal amount of oil and it will stop the butter from burning. It's just an old French trick my Swiss grandmother taught me. It's a good one. Because phytosterols are not easily absorbed in our system and they work by picking up random cholesterol and carrying it out of the body, you can add them to your diet easily and naturally, incorporating the benefits into almost every meal. Okay, so the best herbs to lower cholesterol, bang, here we go, chili. Hot chili is the herb of choice to help eliminate cholesterol problems with patients who don't have any complications. Capsicum is known to help break down arteriosclerosis and help remove it from the body. It also acts as a stimulant and helps with circulation. Add a tiny bit of chili into your meals. One of the tricks that I do is I take fresh chili straight out of the garden and I freeze them. And then when I go to have a meal, I take them out of the freezer and I slice them super thinly and just sprinkle them on my food. That's my preferred way of eating chili. You can get really good chili powder. You can get chili paste. You can make your own chili paste. Simply mix chili with oil, chili powder with oil, and bang, there's chili paste. It's that easy. Globe artichoke. Globe artichoke is known to help eliminate cholesterol from your body faster by acting as a choleretic and increasing the contractive power of the bile duct, which improves the flow of bile from the liver to the gallbladder. The mode of action is considered the indirect inhibition of an enzyme as part of cholesterol biosynthesis. So really, globe artichoke helps pull all of those little cholesterol deposits and all of those little calcium deposits and hormonal deposits that are blocked in your gallbladder, which are commonly known as gallstones, and it helps push them through too while they're tiny. You want to get rid of them while they're tiny. That's another little byproduct of cardiovascular issues. Globe artichoke also helps increase tissue liver regeneration. Yay! It increases liver circulation. It increases the RNA content in liver cells and stimulates cell division, all adding to cholesterol cutting. So I say take 5 mL of the herbal extract with juice or water as a preventative measure. That's 5 mL per 20 kilos of body weight once a day. And you can mix it with apple cider vinegar. You can take your globe artichokes and you can roast them in some beautiful oils and vinegars and cook some delicious recipe. Just search, you know, do a Google search on how to cook globe artichokes and how to marinate globe artichokes. They're so delicious. My book, The Magic of Food is Medicine, gives you lots of information about that as well. Good old garlic has been used to lower total serum cholesterol and prevent the clotting of the blood in traditional Western herbalism and forever in every culture. I'm pretty sure garlic's used for that. Research has shown garlic to lower serum cholesterol levels and inhibit the oxidation of low-density lipoprotein cholesterol. Use garlic in your cooking all the time. Make yourself a potion by juicing fresh garlic bulbs and refrigerate it to age. Use a teaspoon in salad dressings and on top of vegetables. Okay, so have I got my recipe here for the garlic? Because I just really want to tell you this right now. Okay, so what I do, and we did this in a Long Table Wellness Day not so long ago, it's a super important recipe. Everyone can do this. If you've got a juicer at home, you can do this. So take garlic, a bulb or 20 bulbs, ever how many you like of garlic. Cut the tough bits off them. Wash them really well. Peel it and run it through your juicer. Take the juice, pop it in a jar or a bottle, stick a little label on it with the date, put it at the back of your fridge and leave it for at least 6 months. This is aged garlic and this is my recipe for aged garlic. I love it. The longer you leave it, the better. If this is in your fridge for 5 years before you use it, then that's magical medicine. If it's only there for 6 months, that's okay too. If you start using it the day you juice it, that's okay too. So juice lots, pop it in your fridge, and that is one of the best medicines. Aged garlic, if you look at the evidence base, the Japanese have used aged garlic as medicine traditionally and culturally for a long, long time, and so have other cultures. They've used dried garlics, they've used all kinds of garlics, but my recipe is simply juicing the garlic and then popping it in the fridge and leaving it in the fridge for at least 6 months. So ginkgo biloba, if you looked at my blogs on our website, medicineroom.com.au, I did some awesome stuff and I've been working with ginkgo biloba for a long time, and I show you how to make ginkgo biloba oil and all that stuff. It's on my blog on medicineroom.com.au, but right now I'm reading from my book, The Wellness Zone. My name's Dominique Liv-Kamal and I'm an Australian naturopath, herbalist and award-winning healthcare practitioner here, and I just want to share my work with you because it's so much fun. Ginkgo biloba is one herb we hear lots about. Everyone knows its popular benefit, increasing blood circulation and nutrition to the brain. It increases your short-term memory, and because of its flavonoids, ginkgo is a very good general tonic and an excellent antioxidant. An antioxidant is a substance that mops up free radicals in your system and assists them to flush out harmlessly. Too many free radicals create disharmony and can lead to gradual deterioration of your body. And this can manifest as aging, cancers, illness, and general lowered vitality and strength. The combination of ginkgo biloba with hawthorn is now widely used by healthcare practitioners for conditions such as high blood pressure and circulatory problems. The combination is particularly good because it combines the benefits of ginkgo with hawthorn's action of dissolving deposits in thickened sclerotic arteries. It also improves circulation to the heart, providing it with rich oxygenated blood, and it helps reduce blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks. Ginkgo and hawthorn work synergistically together with excellent results, offering the natural remedy and alternatives. Now, I am going to end this beautiful podcast, Project Wellness, there today, because I've kept you going for 45 minutes. I hope you have an awesome day. I'm going to continue the next little podcast we do on here on Project Wellness with cardiovascular tonics, and continue to talk to you about the cardiovascular system and all the aspects of keeping our hearts super healthy. In the meantime, I want to wish you lots of wellness and joy. My name's Dominique Liv-Kamal, and I hope you're loving my podcast, listening to it as much as I'm loving giving it to you. Have a beautiful day. Blessings, light, and love. See you soon.